Now this psalm, as with many of the psalms in fact, is a wonderfully encouraging poem or song describing for us with typically breathtaking honesty the real experience of a faithful believer in God. Now in many ways this psalm shares some of the same truths and encouragements and lessons as the previous psalm, Psalm 3, which we looked at last time. So this week, I want to consider just one verse. In fact, our meditation will be on just one half of one verse, the very beginning, the very first half of verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. Now that is an astounding statement for David to make. Isn't that right? Astounding. However, though it's astounding, it's astonishing, it's also gloriously true. So what is David actually saying? Well, David is capturing, as it were, for us, the very heart, the very core of our salvation. Ultimately, you see, God saves his people for himself. For himself. Isn't that amazing? In other words, salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins, amazingly wonderful and totally undeserved though that is. Salvation is not just the Holy Spirit working in us, making us more and more like Jesus Christ, vitally important and crucial though that is. No. Ultimately, salvation is all about a renewed relationship with God. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. It's wonderful. It's glorious, isn't it? Now, do you realize that? Do you? Do you understand that? Do you? That God has chosen you. That God has sent his son to live and to die for you. That God has called you and justified you and is sanctifying you so that you may know him and enjoy him and converse with him and bring glory to him. Of course, God doesn't need you. Of course he doesn't. God is not incomplete in some way without you. Of course not. That's a totally false understanding of why God has created and saved us. No, God is complete. God is happy and content within the perfect relationship of the Trinity, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, God has created us in order to express to us and to share with us something of that perfect relationship of the Trinity. We've been created to know God and to converse with God. To bring glory to God in our relationship with God. In fact, if you consider Genesis chapters 2 and 3, it's this wonderfully intimate relationship with God that Adam and Eve have lost. Genesis 3 verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. How sad is that? You see, at least for me, it's this particular verse which brings home the awful reality and the dreadful, far-reaching seriousness of the fall. They hid from the Lord God among the trees. Now, our salvation is a reversal of that severing of relationship caused by Adam's fall. Indeed, that's why I say categorically and confidently that the very heart of our salvation is a restored relationship with God. The Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself, for himself. The Psalm 4 tells us. In other words, God dwells with his people, and we are to experience the presence of God himself with us. Psalm 16 verse 2, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing. Psalm 73 verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Philippians 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 3 verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. It's all about relationship with God, isn't it? Of course, our renewed relationship with God is only possible because Jesus Christ has died for us, bearing in our place the Father's wrath against all our sins. Our renewed relationship with God is only possible because we have first been forgiven and justified and redeemed through the finished work of Jesus Christ. However, do you see how forgiveness and justification and redemption all lead the way for reconciliation with God and adoption into his family? Leads the way for that to be possible. That, you see, is the goal of our salvation. It's not merely rescue from death and judgment for our sins, and that's it. No, it's far more than that. It's welcome into God's family. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now, this presence of God with us, his people, that this presence of God with us, his people, is both now and not yet. Now and not yet. It's now in the sense that God, by his Spirit, comes and dwells within us. In John 14, verses 16 to 18, Jesus says to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. And here it is. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In other words, we have the presence of God even now within us. Our hearts and lives are renewed and they are swept clean so that God himself, by his Spirit, may dwell in us. So what does this mean in practice? What does it mean? Well, it should mean that the things of this world seem more and more superficial and temporary to us. Satisfaction, you see, is found not in the things of this world, but in a deepening knowledge and experience of God. In fact, that's the folly of people within this world, isn't it? They seek, as we've all done in fact, they seek lasting satisfaction and meaning in the mundane things of life. But such satisfaction doesn't last, does it? Things of this world always prove to be, at the end of the day, they prove to be full of emptiness, if I can express it in that way. And so we chase about after more and more. But no, true satisfaction, true meaning, true purpose and joy and significance are only ultimately found in enjoying and in experience a relationship with God in our lives. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. But though we experience even now the presence of God with us, more is yet to come. There's a not yet, isn't there? It's now and not yet. More is yet to come. What we enjoy in small measure here and now in our lives within this world will be perfected when we get to heaven. The Holy Spirit now within us is just a down payment, so to speak, of what is to come. It's just a first installment, as it were, of the very presence of God with us in glory to come. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 2, or 22 rather. God anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit within our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Heaven, you see, is God himself dwelling with us. We will see the King in all his beauty. Revelation 21 verse 3, and I heard a loud voice among the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Well, think of it in this way. What actually makes heaven heaven? That's an interesting question, isn't it? What makes heaven heaven? What should thrill our hearts about the prospect of heaven more than anything else? That God is there. That God is there. That we will see the King in all his beauty. So ask yourself, would you be happy to go to heaven whether or not Jesus is there? Would you? If your answer to that question is yes, then you do not truly understand what salvation is all about. Our hope is not heaven. It's Christ in heaven. Consider, for example, John 16, verse 22. Again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Why will the disciples rejoice? Because they're in heaven with Christ. It's not heaven by itself now. It's because they will see Jesus again, and he will be with them forever. No one will take away your joy. Heaven is supremely the enjoyment of God himself. As David himself tells us at the end of Psalm 16, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Isn't it truly amazing that God actually desires us to know him and to enjoy him? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself.